He is risen. He is risen. He is risen. All month long, we've been talking about what does it mean to be a follower of Jesus, following the way, not just a moment in time, not just one Sunday, not just a prayer you prayed when you were 12. What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Shouldn't there be more? Shouldn't there be more? Now, I don't know, you may have come to church this Easter Sunday morning because it's Easter Sunday morning, because you're with family and they invited you, because, yeah, it's what you do. But we've been talking all month long about what does that mean if you were to move from being spiritually uninterested, just sort of tolerating all this stuff because it's what you were raised with, to genuinely curious. I wonder if there's actually something more to this Jesus stuff. Spiritually curious to the point that you're willing to sniff around, see if it's for real. Spiritually curious enough to begin to explore. And what if there came a time when you kind of moved the needle even more? Not just spiritually curious, but re-owning what you used to believe when you were a kid. Or maybe finding a new place in Jesus. You know what? I think I do believe. I think I do believe that Jesus was for real. That he really did what the Bible says he did. That he really accomplished what he came to do. You know what? I do believe that. And maybe somebody even led you in a prayer. It's funny, sometimes the prayer, the sinner's prayer, starts to feel like magic words. You got to say them just right. You got to hold your head just right when you say it, or it may not work. Maybe you prayed the prayer. In fact, maybe you prayed the prayer over and over, and it still feels like it didn't take root. You know the prayer, a prayer that would say, I get it. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. But what if there could be more to it than that? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? Is there a difference between being a believer and being a follower? Is there some quantitative, qualitative difference that would come in your life if you just wanted to press in, go further, let it be more than a moment? But the real question, I mean, where the rubber meets the road, the question that you could find coming back to you sometimes if you woke up in the middle of the night is, do you want more? Is there more to this? Is there something that you've somehow left on the table because you've seen some people for whom it is genuine and it is a game changer, a difference maker, but somehow it hasn't become that for you? If you'll allow it, I'd love to just spend a few minutes just exploring those questions with you. There's this line from the book of Ephesians. The Apostle Paul talks about it, and it says, for it is by grace that you've been saved through faith. I mean, that's the bottom line. Maybe you've heard that line before. That's the bottom line. It's by grace that you've been saved through faith. You've tried, right, to be good enough to save yourself. You've tried to do the right things. You've tried to line things up appropriately, but it's by grace that you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast, so that no one can come to a place in their life and say, I finally got it right. No, it's not about what I got right. It's about coming to a place where you say, no, Jesus, I need you. In fact, let me back up a little bit because at the start of this chapter in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, as for you, you were dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world, the ruler of the kingdom, the air. Not only you, but it says all of us lived among those at one time. And it says, gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts, craving, desiring, always thinking Is there something more? Is there something more? In fact, it says, remember that you used to be called just Gentiles by birth, uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision. Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship, foreigners to the covenant, without hope, and without God in the world. I know a lot of people, even in this room, who have explored it just enough, sniffed around the edges just enough to realize, I don't know what you guys have got, but I know I'm not in. And if that's you, today could be your day. Because it says this. It says, Jesus had a purpose when he came here. When he was, Christmas story, virgin birth, shepherds, wise men, the whole bit. Living the life, doing the stuff, right? Healing the sick, feeding the hungry, even raising the dead. Jesus had a purpose when he went to the cross, when he hung there until he pronounced it finished, done, accomplished. When the stone was rolled away and the resurrected Jesus came out, there was a purpose behind it. And the purpose, it says, the purpose was to create in himself one new humanity, making peace in one body, reconciling all of us to God through the cross. We were separate. We were excluded. We were without hope and without God in the world. But his purpose was to bring peace. Peace to those who were far away. Peace to those who are near. You may think to yourself, this is just not what I do. I'm just here today. He says the peace is for all of us. The peace is for anyone who will hear, anyone who will come. Peace to those who are far away, peace to those who are near, so that we could all have access to God. Wouldn't it be something? Wouldn't it be something if you could have access to God? You know, that this life that you find yourself in that used to make sense but doesn't anymore, wouldn't it be something if you could have access to God? If you could find a way to find your way to him when life doesn't make sense. I mean, it used to make sense when you were a kid. But once people started depending on you, once you needed to figure out how to make your way in this world, once people started relying on you, life just gets harder. It gets more complicated. There are a lot of moving parts. What if you could have access to the Father? It says this, you're no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people. Wouldn't it be something if you could find a place to belong? A people who could be your people? Wouldn't it be something? It says, built on the foundation of the apostles, joined together, a building that is joined together and rises to become this holy temple in the Lord. A place where you could find him. A place where you could pray to him, a place where you could meet him, to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me for a minute? Now, you may not know this, but you were meant to live as a repository of God. He created you in his image, and he has a plan for your life. And you were created to live in his presence. Oh, but Father, in Jesus' name, my sin has separated me from you for so long. While your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, you want to make the right choices. And the people that you disappoint, well, that's one thing. But the one you can never get away from is when you disappoint yourself. God, I knew better than to do what I did. God, I knew better than to go where I went. God, I knew better, but I did it anyway. God, I'm sorry. God, I'm sorry. A prayer that would go beyond a moment to say, God, I don't need you just right now. God, I need you from now on. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, what would that look like? What would it look like for you to be not just a believer, but a follower of Jesus? What if you could have freedom from the shame of the ways that you've disappointed yourself? What if you could have a place to belong when it seems like you've burned every bridge? What if you could belong? Father, in Jesus' name, you know what I need. Father, in Jesus' name, you know what I've suffered. You know the suffering I've caused. Father, I need you. I need you.